The class knew instantly he had gone too far. Snape advanced on Ron slowly, and the room held its breath. "Detention, Weasley," Snape said silkily, his face very close to Ron's. "And if I ever hear you criticize the way I teach a class again, you will be very sorry indeed." No one made a sound throughout the rest of the lesson. They sat and made notes on werewolves from the textbook, while Snape prowled up and down the rows of desks, examining the work they had been doing with Professor Lupin. "Very poorly explained. That is incorrect. The kappa is more commonly found in Mongolia. Professor Lupin gave this 8 out of 10. I wouldn't have given it 3. When the bell rang at last, Snape held them back. "You will each write an essay to be handed in to me on the ways you recognize and kill werewolves. I want 2 rolls of parchment on the subject, and I want them by Monday morning. It is time somebody took this class in hand. Weasley, stay behind. We need to arrange your detention." Harry and Hermione left the room with the rest of the class, who waited until they were well out of earshot, then burst into a furious tirade about Snape. "Snape's never been like this with any of our other Defence Against the Dark Arts teachers, even if he did want the job," Harry said to Hermione. "Why has he got it in for Lupin? Do you think this is all because of the boggart?" "I don't know," said Hermione pensively, "but I really hope Professor Lupin gets better soon." Ron caught up with them 5 minutes later in a towering rage. "Do you know what that—" he called Snape something that made Hermione say, "Ron!" "Is making me do? I've got to scrub out the bedpans in the hospital wing without magic." He was breathing deeply, his fists clenched. "Why couldn't Black have hidden in Snape's office, eh? He could have finished him off for us." Harry woke extremely early next morning, so early that it was still dark. For a moment he thought the roaring of the wind had woken him. Then he felt a cold breeze on the back of his neck and sat bolt upright. Peeves the poltergeist had been floating next to him, blowing hard in his ear. "What did he do that for?" said Harry, furiously. Peeves puffed out his cheeks, blew hard, and zoomed backwards out of the room, cackling. Harry fumbled for his alarm clock and looked at it. It was 4:30. Cursing Peeves, he rolled over and tried to get back to sleep, but it was very difficult, now he was awake, to ignore the sounds of the thunder rumbling overhead, the pounding of the wind against the castle walls, and the distant creaking of the trees in the Forbidden Forest. In a few hours he would be out on the Quidditch pitch, battling through that gale. Finally he gave up any more thought of sleep, got up, dressed, picked up his Nimbus 2000, and walked quietly out of the dormitory. As Harry opened the door, something brushed against his leg. He bent down just in time to grab Crookshanks by the end of his bushy tail and drag him outside. "You know, I reckon Ron was right about you," Harry told Crookshanks suspiciously. "There are plenty of mice around this place. Go and chase them." "Go on," he added, nudging Crookshanks down the spiral staircase with his foot. "Leave Scabbers alone." The noise of the storm was even louder in the common room. Harry knew better than to think the match would be cancelled. Quidditch matches weren't called off for trifles such as thunderstorms. Nevertheless, he was starting to feel very apprehensive. Wood had pointed out Cedric Diggory to him in the corridor. Diggory was a 50er and a lot bigger than Harry. Seekers were usually light and speedy, but Diggory's weight would be an advantage in this weather, because he was less likely to be blown off course. Harry whiled away the hours until dawn, in front of the fire, getting up every now and then to stop Crookshanks sneaking up the boys' staircase again. At long last, Harry thought it must be time for breakfast, so he headed through the portrait hole alone.
"Stand up and fight, you mangy cur!" yelled Sir Cadogan.
"Oh, shut up!" Harry yawned. He revived a bit over a large bowl of porridge, and by the time he'd started on toast, the rest of the team had turned up.
"It's going to be a tough one," said Wood, who wasn't eating anything.
"Stop worrying, Oliver," said Alicia soothingly. "We don't mind a bit of rain." But it was considerably more than a bit of rain.
Such was the popularity of Quidditch that the whole school turned out to watch the match as usual, but they ran down the lawns towards the Quidditch pitch, heads bowed against the ferocious wind, umbrellas being whipped out of their hands as they went. Just before he entered the changing room, Harry saw Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle laughing and pointing at him from under an enormous umbrella on their way to the stadium. The team changed into their scarlet robes and waited for Wood's usual pre-match pep talk, but it didn't come. He tried to speak several times, made an odd gulping noise, then shook his head hopelessly and beckoned them to follow him. The wind was so strong that they staggered sideways as they walked out onto the pitch. If the crowd was cheering, they couldn't hear it over the fresh rolls of thunder. Rain was splattering over Harry's glasses. How on earth was he going to see the Snitch in this? The Hufflepuffs were approaching from the opposite side of the pitch, wearing canary yellow robes. The captains walked up to each other and shook hands. Diggory smiled at Wood, but Wood now looked as though he had lockjaw and merely nodded. Harry saw Madame Hooch's mouth form the words, "Mount your brooms." He pulled his right foot out of the mud with a squelch and swung it over his Nimbus 2000. Madame Hooch put her whistle to her lips and gave it a blast that sounded shrill and distant. They were off. Harry rose fast, but his Nimbus was swerving slightly with the wind. He held it as steady as he could and turned, squinting into the rain. Within 5 minutes Harry was soaked to his skin and frozen, hardly able to see his teammates, let alone the tiny Snitch. He flew backwards and forwards across the pitch, past blurred red and yellow shapes, with no idea of what was happening in the rest of the game. He couldn't hear the commentary over the wind. The crowd was hidden beneath a sea of cloaks and battered umbrellas. Twice Harry came very close to being unseated by a bludger. His vision was so clouded by the rain on his glasses he hadn't seen them coming. He lost track of time. It was getting harder and harder to hold his broom straight. The sky was getting darker, as though night had decided to come early. Twice Harry nearly hit another player, without knowing whether it was a teammate or opponent. Everyone was now so wet and the rain so thick he could hardly tell them apart. With the first flash of lightning came the sound of Madame Hooch's whistle. Harry could just see the outline of Wood through the thick rain, gesturing him to the ground. The whole team splashed down into the mud. "I called for time out!" Wood roared at his team. "Come on, under here!" They huddled at the edge of the pitch under a large umbrella. Harry took off his glasses and wiped them hurriedly on his robes. "What's the score?" "We're 50 points up," said Wood, "but unless we get the Snitch soon, we'll be playing into the night." "I've got no chance with these on," Harry said exasperatedly, waving his glasses. At that very moment Hermione appeared at his shoulder. She was holding her cloak over her head and was, inexplicably, beaming. "I've had an idea, Harry. Give me your glasses, quick." He handed them to her, and, as the team watched in amazement, Hermione tapped them with her wand, and said, "Impervious!" "There," she said, handing them back to Harry. "They'll repel water." Wood looked as though he could have kissed her. "Brilliant!" he called hoarsely after her as she disappeared into the crowd. "Okay, team, let's go for it!" Hermione's spell had done the trick. Harry was still numb with cold, still wetter than he'd ever been in his life, but he could see. Full of fresh determination, he urged his broom through the turbulent air, staring in every direction for the Snitch, avoiding a bludger, ducking beneath Diggory, who was streaking in the opposite direction. There was another clap of thunder, followed immediately by forked lightning. This was getting more and more dangerous. Harry needed to get the Snitch quickly.